Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
What a day! Josh and Swain, 99.1 The Sports Animal. We are fired up to be with you this afternoon. Ben McKee, GoVols 247. With me today, I'm Jason Swain, Joel Silverberg, producer. Oh, man. What a day. What's up, guys? Ben, Joel, is your hair on fire? Is your chili hot?
I don't have hair to be on fire. Joel does, though.
Got a little bit. Joel got a little bit, too. A little bit of hair. But, man, we fired up today. Got comments from David Cutcliffe on scheduling. The former Tennessee offensive coordinator from Ole Miss and Duke coach. Now he is working for the SEC. He is the special assistant to the commissioner for football relations. And so we'll get his take on SEC scheduling, 8-game, 9-game. And there's a lot of coaches talking. And I know their word's important and what they have to say is important. But I want to hear from Coach Cut. Because when I hear from Coach Cut, I know I'm going to get what he truly believes. I know I'm going to get what he truly means. Here's a coach that told me when I was going to be a senior, my spring junior season, and he comes in and he's going to be the new offense coordinator. I asked him, hey, coach, man, what do you need, man? All he said was, I just need you to say what you mean and mean what you say. That's all he told me to do. I go, all right, coach, you got it. And so we know these coaches that are interviewed and ask questions about their preference and their take on SEC scheduling, they're going to say what's in the best interest of their program, their team. And that's cool. I understand that. I would do the same thing if I was a coach. But Coach Cut, different perspective. He used to be a coach. He's not a coach now. And I know we're going to get what he truly means. We're going to talk to Austin Price of VolQuest.com coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, talk recruiting. We're going to talk to Will Heflin, former Tennessee baseball player, pitcher, get his take on Tennessee's postseason coming up. So, busy show. Of course, we got the face-off in the first hour, and Ben won yesterday, so let's see if I can get back into the win column today. But Ben, you ready to go?
I'm always ready to go.
You need an extra 10 minutes?
No, I'm good. I'm always ready. I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. That's my mindset. Stay ready so I don't have to get ready. Excited for our guest today. Really excited to talk to Will Heflin, who knows a thing or two about pitching in the postseason.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Started a SEC tournament game. Started some regional games as well. Not just an SEC tournament game. I misspoke. An SEC championship game. Mm. He started that game against Arkansas 2 seasons ago. I guess now 3 seasons ago. And may or may not have pitched a little bit in Omaha at the College World Series. Know a thing or two about pitching in the postseason. So I'm excited. And I love that you mentioned the say what you mean what you say. Because I use it at my house all the time. I hit my wife with it. She may not like it when I tell her that, but I'll tell her, say what you mean what you say.
Yeah.
And good old Knox, who's only 10 months old and doesn't know how to speak yet, he hears it too, even though he doesn't know what I'm saying.
Hey, the other way you can say that is say it with your chest.
I'll leave that one out when it comes to the significant other. But when it comes to Knox, he'll hear that one. He's already getting to go out and find a J-O-B job, please. Eating up all my food already.
That's right, man. I'm pumped about today. I had one of the coolest experiences ever this morning. one of the coolest experiences. So, this is not top secret news because there's so many people walking through the basketball offices today. But ESPN, SEC Network, currently producing a documentary on your VFL, your All-American, Chris Lofton. And I was fortunate and lucky to be a part of it. So this morning, I was on campus recording for the documentary. It's going to be SEC Storied. Chris Lofton has one of the coolest stories in the last 25 years in the SEC. Someone that literally down the road from Lexington, Kentucky didn't want him. Tubby Smith didn't want him. Tennessee put in work to the 11th, 12th, 13th hour to be able to get Chris Lofton to come to the University of Tennessee. He didn't come in jumping over buildings and running down long trains. He wasn't that type of athlete, but he was a worker and worked himself to one of the best shooters of all time in college basketball. Overcame adversity, being diagnosed with cancer during his career. Battled through that in the darkness. Not a lot of people knew about that during that time. And helped catapult Tennessee basketball into the position that it is in right now. He's a big reason why Tennessee basketball is thriving the way that it is. And I've grew up watching documentaries like that on ESPN and other channels, but to be a part of it, talking about a guy that's a friend, talking about a guy that's one of the most humble superstars ever, and Ben, we've had the fortune to be able to break bread with him, hang out with him. You grew up big Chris Lofton fan, and to see him get his flowers, because a lot of the times we see these documentaries be done on individuals who are no longer with us. And so it's really cool to see a documentary being done on someone that can see it. Think about Condred Holloway, his documentary, one of the most athletic quarterbacks of all time in SEC, first black quarterback in the SEC. He was before his time. They wasn't ready for a dual threat quarterback. They wasn't ready for a guy to play multiple sports like they are now. Now, you can't even get drafted if you can't move your feet, if you're not mobile. Condred was before his time. Chris Lofton was a little bit before his time too, man. Because look at the NBA. Look at college basketball. Nothing but three-pointers now. Chris Lofton was one of the best at it.
Yes. I mean, he is the best at it outside of Steph Curry in college basketball history, in SEC history for sure. I mean, he is literally the greatest three-point shooter in SEC basketball history. That is not – putting a little extra sauce on it. That is the absolute truth.
JJ Redick was assassin.
JJ Redick was as well, but it's wild. Like, you see Steph Curry go on to have one of the greatest NBA careers of all time. Mm-hmm. JJ Redick had a tremendous NBA career as well, and Chris Lofton is in the conversation with those names at the college level for greatest shooters in the history of college basketball, which is really, really cool. But what makes the Chris Lofton story so special is who he is as a person.
Yep.
As you were discussing, like, yeah, it was so much fun to watch him play basketball. I grew up on Chris Lofton. That was my guy growing up. Mm-hmm. I would go out in the driveway and try to emulate the shots that he was making.
Chris Lofton
all day long. Forget Kobe. I was saying Chris. I say Lofton.
So you didn't say Kobe or MJ. You were like Lofton.
Yes, when I was a kid in my driveway, I had a Chris Lofton jersey too. I had a number 5 Chris Lofton jersey. It was the first Tennessee jersey I ever had. It was Chris Lofton's number 5 basketball jersey, and I wore it. I'd get home from school, eat a snack like you always do, and then I'd go outside and shoot on my basketball goal for 30 minutes to an hour before I had to do homework, and I would be shooting as if I was Chris Lofton trying to make those same shots. So that's the awesome part of the story, what he did as a player, obviously, and boy, would he be fun to watch in today's game. And he would just be an absolute superstar in today's game with NIL and just the ability to watch every single basketball game, because that was back in the day where you couldn't watch every basketball game on TV. Especially, I was living out of state because I was a military brat, and I was lucky to get a Chris Lofton or Tennessee basketball game. And in today's world, with social media and every game being on TV, he'd be a mega superstar, even more than he already is. And and all that is fun to talk about, but truly, the best part about the Chris Lofton story is who he is as a person. You sit down and you break bread with him, and it's not Chris Lofton, the greatest three-point shooter in SEC basketball history. It's Chris Lofton, the sports fan. And when we sit down and break bread, all he wants to talk about is what's going on with the football team. He peppers you with questions left and right about the football team. Are we going to be good this year? Mm-hmm. Well, what's going on with that, this and that? And anybody who has ever had run-ins with Chris Lofton or interactions knows exactly what I mean. I mean, he's just down to earth, has a huge heart. You would not know that he is Chris Lofton by having a conversation with him. So I'm super excited for Chris. One of the best parts about me getting into this profession the last 5, 6, 7 years is being able to develop a relationship with Chris through you. Even as small of a relationship as it is, like, that's been really, really cool for
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Me, because of who he is as a person. Yeah. He's just the absolute best.
Yeah, it was so cool to be a small part of him getting his jersey retired. I mean, I was there, and you know, thousands of people were there, and a small part of that experience in that moment for him. But man, it was really cool to see that, which brings me to my question to you, the listener. What former Tennessee athlete do you want to see ESPN do the next documentary on? The documentary being shot now for ESPN. It's going to be featured on SEC Storied. That will be available during basketball season at the beginning of 2024. So if they're shooting all these interviews and stuff now, that means they have a lot of editing to do, man. They got to make me look good. That made me look slender.
Well, they also know that Chris will refuse to talk about himself, so they need to sit him down as much as possible and just pull words out of him, because he will refuse to speak about himself.
Man, and that's what's so funny about my time during the interview this morning is I'm just laughing like, y'all, for us to be here speaks to the growth that Chris Lofton has experienced, because it took me pulling teeth to get him to even talk on the radio. That just wasn't his deal, and now he's more comfortable doing it.
He didn't tell anybody he had cancer.
No, he didn't want people to know.
He
didn't want people to know. And so, like, it's not about him. It's never been about him. It's been about others. It's been about the team. But my question to you, 865-656-9900, Stanley Fenton and Gates hotline. That same hotline, you can text. You can text us. Let us know. What former Tennessee athlete do you want to see ESPN do the next documentary on? The Chris Lofton one is underway right now. Be ready at the beginning of 2024. We'll hear from Coach Cutcliffe, talking SEC scheduling, recruiting, right here on Josh and Swain, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain with you this afternoon, this beautiful afternoon, the last day of May. We want to make sure that we go out with a bang this month. So thank you for making Josh and Swain part of your day, your lunch break. Or if you're listening on podcasts, thank you as well. Ben McKee, GoVols247. I'm Jason Swain. SEC Media Day is taking place. Kirby said he tired of talking about scheduling. He said it is the most overrated conversation going on right now. And I'm pretty sure there's fans that are tired of the conversation.
I also think Kirby doesn't care because he's won the last two national championships. He should have the mindset of, I'm recruiting as well, if not better than everybody. Who cares who we play?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I do think there's a little bit of truth to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, in terms of the conversation being maybe a little more drawn out than it should.
But it's important, though.
It is very important. And I feel strongly about the whole nine-game SEC schedule being what's best for not only the SEC, but I think what's best for college football, because the SEC is the premier product. And I also believe the things that I was saying yesterday about how nine games can benefit the schools as well. Like a place like Tennessee, I said they're trying to build this new tabletop on G10. You're going to have more people in Knoxville on campus if you're playing an extra conference game than an extra cupcake game. So, yeah, it may make – I definitely see the viewpoints of it making it more difficult on your team. I certainly see that, and I don't think that point is wrong. But I think the getting butts in seats more often and more people on campus is more important than maybe that extra tough game. Because also, if Tennessee's handling business, then that's going to be a game that Tennessee is more than capable of winning anyways.
I think every school, every team – has their pluses and minuses when it comes to 8-game schedule or 9-game schedule. I think a place like Tennessee, if Tennessee's playing, people are going to be here. Now, if you're playing a conference game, yeah, it's going to be more electric. There's a chance for the game to be a primetime TV slot. And listen, there's just going to be more electricity surrounding the game. But when Tennessee plays, there are going to be people in the seats, especially if Tennessee is winning. It's an opportunity for younger fans to come to games. It's an opportunity for programs that have an outreach program to be able to get tickets and allow young people that may not be able to go to games in other situations be able to go. So, like, there will be butts in seats, but it's just a different energy when you're playing an SEC opponent. Now, Coach Cutcliffe is one of the most respected football people in college football, period. He's coached at a high level. Now he is advising Commissioner Sankey. He's a special assistant. And Jimmy Himes, the great Jimmy Himes, caught up with Coach Cut to get his take on 8-game schedule.
Well, the coach in me comes out. I've been through this for years. We've had conversations over in the ACC, should you go to 9 games? And I said, if the SEC stays at 8, you stay at 8. It's that simple over there. Here it's not quite that simple when you add two teams, and I realize that. There are a lot of players in the game. There's finances involved. There's coaches involved. There's administrators involved. There's presidents involved. But here's the advantage to me of the 8-game schedule. Our conference has led the way nationally forever. I know the Big Ten has made some great strides, and all the conferences are great conferences, don't get me wrong. But the SEC has led the way. I think you stay at 8 until you're forced otherwise, as the coach comes out in me. The advantages are nationally. The college football playoff expansion, who knows how many SEC teams are capable of being there. If you play 9, we're definitively going to beat each other up. There is no question about that. So it will have a national implication if that's the case. So that's a long answer, but it's a complex circumstance. And as the commissioner said, we're circling the airport, but I know we're running out of fuel, so we got to put it down.
That's David Cutcliffe, special assistant to Commissioner Sankey on the conference stand at 8 games. Do I understand why a school wants to stay 8 games? Absolutely. So, like, you have to be able to look through the lens of someone else. I think a lot of times, and this applies to other areas outside of sports, are you able to see things through other people's lenses? Or is it just about you and what's convenient and comfortable for you? As a fan, I want 9 games. As a fan, because I want more entertaining games. I want better games.
As a fan of Tennessee or as a fan of the SEC?
As just a fan of football.
Because
just as a fan of football.
You and I have had some conversations in the past when Butch Jones was coach and Jeremy Pruitt was coach. Mm-hmm. More so when Pruitt was coach because that's when the conversation started to become more prevalent. Tennessee wasn't in a position to necessarily want to play a 9th conference game. And Tennessee needed that extra cupcake game. Like we talked about yesterday with Missouri and Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Those are the schools. And, yes, there's the counterpoint that you brought up of Missouri maybe needing that extra 9th game for money purposes, financial reasons. But in terms of just sheer wins and trying to tally up as many W's in the win column as you can, those schools need an 8-game schedule.
For sure.
And probably that's, 7. Probably 5 or 6, honestly. I mean, I probably need some form of relegation like the Premier League does to get some of those schools on the bottom out of here.
We should keep Vanderbilt and Missouri where they are, okay?
Especially when the SEC announces Vanderbilt as a permanent opponent for Tennessee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I get what Coach Cut is saying. I mean, you beat each other up now playing 8 games. I mean, the physical toll that it takes on a team playing an SEC schedule, like, it's undeniable. And you're already winning championships. The Big Ten wants to be like you. The Pac-12 wants to be like you. Everybody wants to be like the SEC. So what they're doing is not what you have to do. And you're going to see the national media, you're going to see people from other conferences try to bait the SEC into doing what they are doing, because if the SEC does what they are doing, which is playing 9 games, it helps them. It helps them have a better chance to get into the college football playoff, because the SEC teams are going to beat up on each other.
I have liked Greg Sankey's comments this week here and there. Kind of a snarky comment of what you're talking about and how other leagues may try to be the trendsetter. Mm-hmm. And Greg Sankey has been like, nah, this is the SEC. We're the ones that set the trend. And we're not going to make decisions based off of what others do. We are the driving force in college athletics. The other leagues will follow what we do.
I think 3 years ago proved that when – it was a decision on whether or not to play the college football season during COVID. And Big Ten canceled early, and SEC just waited and waited and waited and played 10 conference games. And it worked out. Now, you had guys miss, right?
Games had to be rescheduled.
Game had to be rescheduled. The greatest gift is Jeremy Pruitt and his gator. That was the greatest gift. Don't get me wrong. That was the greatest gift right there. But the SEC proved during that time that we lead, y'all follow. So you're not going to bait me into playing 9 games because you're going to pull a middle school tactic, a dare tactic. I bet you won't do it. Well, okay, I bet I will. And it's not going to work here. There's another element that includes the rescheduling that has to be done. Their schedule is already filled up and lined up for years and years in advance. And so that's a change that will have to take place. Coach Cut, I call him Coach Cut, but David Cutcliffe, again, special assistant to Commissioner Sankey. When we come back, we'll hear what he has to say about 9-game schedule and what will that mean. Also, Austin Price, VolQuest.com will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk to Will Heflin, former Tennessee pitcher, get his take on the Tennessee baseball postseason. We got a lot to get to. Ben McKee, GoVols 247, Jason Swain here with you. It is Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal. 865-656-9900 is the telephone number to the Stanley Fenton and Gates hotline this afternoon. He is Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I am Jason Swain. Ben McKee filling in for Josh Ward. Before the break, I promise that we will hear from Coach Cut on nine-game scheduling. But hold up, wait a minute. Hold up, wait a minute. Let me put some investigation in it. And that's what I'm doing here. Because Josiah Jordan James, Tennessee senior guard last year, according to his Twitter account, at JJJames30, tweeted out, one more year, praying hands emoji, orange heart emoji, what looks like to be a edit done by Tennessee, even though Tennessee basketball did not tweet the same edit, but this is an edit, looked like it was created by Tennessee.
That was definitely created by
Unless Tennessee. Josiah has worked on his Photoshop game. How? Josiah Jordan James, if he comes back, how will this happen? Because there's not any spots.
I am absolutely shocked. It is rare in today's day and age of social media and message boards and things of that nature that something catches us off guard. And I can genuinely, honestly admit that this one has completely caught me off guard. I mean, I knew that today was the deadline for players to withdraw their name from the NBA draft process. But
the Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
I just assumed that Josiah would remain in the draft and try to make it. I mean, I did not think he was going to be drafted, but I assumed he'd get a summer league invite, something along those lines, and then hopefully sign a two-way or play in the G League. I thought he'd go that route. I did. This is a complete shocker. I can honestly admit. I'm not too big to admit that I did not see this one coming. I did not think that this was a possibility. I mean, I know you agree with me. You and I were trying to pull out the magnifying glass during the break to make sure that this wasn't fake or anything along those lines.
First of all.
And it's not April 1st. I know it's about to be June 1st, but it's not April 1st.
Maybe Josiah is starting a new trend. April Fool's is now June Fool's. We're going to start a new trend.
It's legit. Wow. So, I don't understand. They don't have any scholarships open.
I mean, there's ways around it. Not trying to speculate on that this is happening, but there are.
It seems like it is happening.
there's possible ways around it. So my first reaction is obviously I'm shocked, right? Because I wasn't expecting Josiah Jordan James to come back. My second reaction is I'm happy.
Yes.
Because I appreciate his leadership. I appreciate his versatility. I want him to be more available. I think that hurt last year's team. Him and Julian Phillips being out as much as they were. And it's not his fault. Like, no one wakes up and say, you know what, man? today, I'm going to get hurt today. Today, I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to hurt myself, and I'm going to hurt the team. So, like, it's not his fault that he's had the injury history, but it does affect the team in a negative way. Josiah Jordan James tweeted. Now, there is a addition to the team that is the son of a Tennessee assistant.
Yes. Now, I guess he could be a walk-on, obviously. But I hesitate to say that because I do know for a fact, and it may be hard for people to believe, but I do believe Tennessee when Rick Barnes says that they wanted Jordan Gainey because they think that he can help as a basketball player, not because his dad is an assistant coach. 99.1 Sports Animal put out audio this morning, Jimmy Hyams talking to Rick Barnes, and Jimmy asked Rick, is Jordan Gainey the first son of an assistant coach that you've ever coached? And Rick said that he believes that it is, and Rick, as he has done multiple times since Jordan signed with Tennessee, went out of his way to say that he's not here because his dad is an assistant coach. They legitimately think, because of his ability to shoot the basketball from the perimeter, that he could help. And Rick even went as far as to say that what sold him on Jordan Gainey was that Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden went to Rick and said that he could help. They worked out with him last offseason, I guess it was. I guess Jordan was in town visiting his dad. All the former players, they visit as well. They come back. Lamonte's playing overseas. Jordan Bowden's in the G League. They all come back and they work out in Knoxville. Not all offseason long, but they spend time in Knoxville working out. And I guess they all worked out together. And Lamonte and Bowden were impressed by Little Gainey, a.k.a. Jordan Gainey, and told Rick, like, he can help y'all. So they really think that he can help. So I don't know if that – I mean, obviously, just because they legitimately wanted him and not just because he was the son of the assistant. In fact, Justin Gainey, the assistant, he did not even play a role in recruiting. He was hands-off.
Yep.
Kind of left the room when the conversation brought up type of situation, and it was Coach Polinsky and Coach Barnes that did all of the recruitment of Jordan Gainey. So, obviously, that doesn't mean that he still can't be a walk-on, and I think that's going to be the easy thing that everybody points to. But I'll be curious to see how that does play out, because the message from Tennessee is we legitimately want Jordan Gainey because of his ability to shoot the basketball. But then, obviously, it would help with – the roster standpoint and the lack of scholarships, because they do not have an open scholarship right now. They had to have some guys move on in order to open up room for the transfers and the three incoming freshmen. So we'll see how it plays out. It's a fascinating situation.
I think as an athlete, being on scholarship means that there's validation in the work that you've put in. You belong, like, you're just as good as scholarship players. If you let your ego get in the way too much. But if it's all about the team winning and you know you are good enough to play with scholarship players, I can see how this could possibly work for Tennessee and Gainey. Because walk-on players on a daily basis go out there and try to prove that they belong and prove that they belong on scholarship. And they're trying to go get that scholarship too, because it's going to help them save money. But I'm just thinking about it in the shoes of a student athlete that is good enough to be on scholarship but not on scholarship. Mentally, how do you deal with that? And if you are grounded – if you don't have the ego, you're humble, it shouldn't matter. You get a chance to play ball in one of the most premier conferences. You get a chance to play with your dad. And again, I'm not we're not saying that this is the scenario, but how is Josiah and Jordan James going to be able to play here at the University of Tennessee where there's not any more scholarships?
Somebody will have to walk on.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, in the day of NLI or NIL, I hate trying to separate NIL and NLI.
What about ILN or INL? Just mix them all up. We know what you're talking about. All right, we'll continue to talk about this. We'll push the face off. This is the breaking news here in Vol Country. This is the breaking news. Josh and Swain, 99.1, the Sports Animal. The biggest news of today. Josiah Jordan James announcing on Twitter that he's going to run it back one more year.
Tennessee just officially announced it. So it is, I mean, it was pretty evident with the tweet for those who were able to see the tweet. But Tennessee just sent out a press release. James set to rejoin Vols for fifth year. In this press release, it says, "From Josiah, I'm excited and blessed to be able to represent Tennessee for one more year. After last season, I talked with the coaching staff about how important it was for me to go through the draft evaluation process and get NBA feedback since I wasn't able to do that last offseason. I also knew that the coaches here had to build a full roster for this year and prepare for the possibility that I might not be back. I love the pieces they've put together, and I'm eager to join this new group of teammates for one more run." So it's official. Josiah Jordan James, shockingly, is back.
I'm excited.
I am too. This is a huge development for Tennessee basketball.
I am excited. I'm fired up. Man, this is big time. So what does this mean? This means someone will either leave or somebody has to be put on. Somebody has to be taken off scholarship and be a walk-on. So, I think it's kind of easy to sit here and go, well, I mean, Justin Gainey, his dad is assistant coach, and so, that makes sense. I don't think it would be a great look if Josiah Jordan James walked on. Like, here's a guy that was a five-star coming out of high school. He's a scholarship player for all these years. He goes through the NBA process, decides to come back, but when he comes back, he doesn't have a scholarship. That's not a good look. I don't think we want to do that. The optics on that, not pretty. So I feel like Josiah needs to be on scholarship. And that leaves two other options. Either someone else is walking on and use NIL or whatever you got to do to make it happen, or – hey, somebody else is leaving. All I know is, as a Tennessee basketball fan, that Tennessee just got better. So the preseason rankings, the too early top 25, where we saw Tennessee in the teens with some polls and maybe top 10 with others, both polls, Tennessee should be elevated slightly with the return of Josiah Jordan James. Here's a versatile player that can guard all five positions, a great defender, someone that can shoot the basketball on the outside, who brings impeccable leadership. And I don't care with what the Josiah Jordan James haters have to say. I don't care. I don't care. He makes Tennessee better.
1,000%.
Don't care what you have to say. Don't care. Don't care about the criticism. He makes Tennessee better, and Tennessee is going to be better with Josiah Jordan James. Now, minutes may be different, but here's an opportunity for him to play a season healthy and make a huge impact and go on another run for the SEC regular season championship or a conference tournament championship or deeper run in the NCAA tournament. Oh, man, this is
good. But I think less minutes might mean more for Josiah, if that makes sense. Less is more type of situation. Good. Because he has battled injuries. He has struggled to stay healthy. That was a really big issue last season for him. I really like the perceived depth on this roster. Looking at it right now, we'll see if it turns into legitimate depth, because there have been teams over the last couple of years where it seemed in the offseason like they were going to have a lot of depth, but then you got into the middle of the season and maybe there wasn't as much depth as you thought that there was going to be. But I do think that depth is going to be a legitimate strength for this team this year. I really do believe that. And so with that extra depth, Josiah won't be relied upon to play as many minutes, and I think that that would be a good thing for him. In crucial situations, yes, he's going to be on the floor, but in terms of longevity and availability, I think a less is more situation would be perfect for him.
Hey, Rick Barnes nails one of his top targets, top recruits, and that is your own player. In this case, it is Josiah Jordan James, who has announced that he's coming back, and Tennessee basketball, they have confirmed that for us today, that Josiah Jordan James indeed will be back for his fifth year. We'll talk to Austin Price of VolQuest.com coming up next, who will give us the lowdown on the recruiting on the football side. 865 Live was a huge weekend for the football program. Who did Tennessee make a huge impression on? Who did Tennessee be able to make up a lot of ground with? Or did Tennessee be able to have a player put Tennessee at the top and create some distance from the other schools out there recruiting the same player? We'll find that out and more as we come back on Joshua Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Austin Price joins us next.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.